This hour of the Howie Car Show podcast is brought to you by the Howie Car Show store. If you can't get enough of Howie, you can buy Howie's books, t-shirts, and more. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click store.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Car Show.
We have breaking news in the presidential election that we will begin with today. New Jersey Senator Cory Booker officially announcing just now that he is ending his bid for the White House.
Today, I'm suspending my campaign for president with the same spirit with which it began.
Booker wants to take away your hamburger.
Joining us now on the telephone is Sabrina Singh. She's the national press secretary for the Senator Cory Booker campaign.
Unfortunately, this was just not his moment.
This is about the closest I'll probably ever have in my life to an I am Spartacus moment.
And I still don't know who the real Spartacus is.
Live from the Matthews Brothers studios.
Speaker Pelosi will finally send the articles of impeachment over to the Senate this week. The Senate's going to begin its trial.
Second thoughts about holding on for 3 weeks?
No. We feel that it was has produced a very positive result.
You live in a fantasy land.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
This is the dirty little secret that nobody is talking about, why the speaker held these papers. The Iowa caucus is on February 3rd. Bernie Sanders is in first place. He will be stuck in a chair because Nancy Pelosi held the papers different than what she said to the American public, why she had to move so urgently. This benefits Joe Biden.
There's been no factual basis for these allegations against Joe Biden. And to ask the Senate do these investigations that the president fraudulently sought to get Ukraine to conduct would merely turn the Senate trial on its head. But that's not a fair trial. That's a sham trial.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Well, I think it's ridiculous. She should have sent him a long time ago. I was interviewed by Bob Woodward. He said, "You actually look like you've won everything. You look happy." I said, I am happy.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Spartacus. Departicus. Or should I say, texter put it, Spartacus Exodus. Cory Booker, in a political sense, will not be down for breakfast tomorrow. It's all over for Cory Booker. It's been over for a while. Now there's only one candidate of color on the Democrat side, Elizabeth Warren. Oh, that's right. I forgot. I keep forgetting.
You're in a time warp, man. 20 years ago, yeah.
She was a white woman before she was a Native American, before she was a white woman.
Can I issue a correction, Howie?
Yes.
I had said that with the Departicus of Cory Booker, there will be no more vegans in the race. I was mistaken. Tulsi Gabbard is, I believe, a vegan, and she is still going strong.
Well, she's going anyway.
She's I don't at know like that... 2 or 3%.
Right. She peaked the day that Hillary Clinton called her a Russian asset.
Yeah.
And it's been kind of downhill since then. But, you know, she has something to remember everybody by.
Yeah.
She has something to remember the campaign by. Yes. All right. Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. If you'd like to join us, 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. I'm back in Boston for the week, and Grace is on the split screen. We've gotten complaints where people have said they can't see Grace when she's doing the news.
But, that's so nice.
So now you're back, Grace. You'll be back for 2 weeks, actually, because you'll be down in Florida with
yes.
me next week again.
That is correct. So then we'll get complaints that they're seeing too much of Grace. That's how these things work. Anyway, though, Howie, I got a lot of news to get to.
Who's sitting beside you there?
Trumpy Bear. A friend of a friend gave me this Trump Bear, and it's so cute. It has a little cape in the back with the American flag. And I don't know. He's just been putting me in a good mood all day with his big tie and his orange hair.
If he were in Freedom Square in Tehran, everybody would be kissing him.
Yeah. That was actually a very interesting thing that Donald Trump did this weekend. He's been on Twitter, and I never said this after we got into 2020, but one of my 2020 stories, or really 2019 stories, was that between 2018 and 2019, Trump increased his tweets by like double. He's been tweeting nonstop. And so anyone who says, "Oh, I like Donald Trump, but I just wish he wouldn't tweet so much," That's never going to happen. He's going to be tweeting more and more as we get close to the election.
Right.
And this past weekend,
as he said too, it's the only way he can get his message out to counteract or contradict the fake news.
Oh, totally. And you know what, Howie? I was talking to someone this weekend, and I said, all these people, like the liberals or anyone who says, you know, his Twitter, just he gets so... grow up. You're telling me all these people, they watch R-rated movies, they're spitting on people, they're getting in fights at bars, everybody's getting in trouble, and the tweeting is what really, you know, makes you clutch your pearls. I'm not buying it anymore. It's 2020. We're all going to hell in a handbasket. Let's stop pretending that we're so shocked by Donald Trump's Twitter.
You know, I don't often go out for Sunday brunch to a shishi restaurant.
Really? I would think you were every Sunday bruncher.
But last summer, one day, I was at a shishi place for Sunday brunch, and there were these two women that were sitting by us, these two yuppie-type women, and they were looking on their phones, and they were obviously getting tweets from Donald Trump, and it was driving them nuts.
Oh.
It was, I could tell just looking at them, they were talking, can you believe what he said? It ruined their breakfast.
And it probably made your breakfast.
That's right. And I said to myself, I love the tweets more than ever now that I've seen it firsthand what it does to these people.
Well, I was in a grocery store, which I will not name it, but I was there this morning, and two of the workers were, you know, stocking the shelves, and I heard one of them say to the other, well, these Republicans are just so crazed nowadays. They're all insane. And I thought to myself, you know how I know I'm not insane? Because if it was a liberal and a Republican said that about a liberal, they would engage. They would get involved in the conversation. And I just thought, no, I only have 10 minutes. I got to go to my job.
They might spit on you like what happened to Mr. Youngblood down in Vero Beach at the Hurricane Grill and Wings.
So I was thinking like how, you know, I was kind of getting mad when I heard it. And then I thought the best way I can prove I'm not insane is to just pick out the rest of my apples and leave. And pay for my food and go. Anyway, though, we got a lot of news to get to. I promised everyone that I would go over some of my favorite Cory Booker cuts. There are so many, but I think my all-time favorite, which is kind of a sneaky one. If you weren't paying attention during that week, you probably wouldn't have heard it. It was when Cory Booker was asking a D.C. Circuit Court nominee if she had ever hired an LGBTQ law clerk. And the only problem was that she had never been a judge, so she didn't have law clerks. It was a beautiful moment just showing his complete ignorance to everything he talks about.
You know, if you're so angry about a Donald Trump nominee, you would think you would at least like read his or her resume, CV, whatever you want to call it, so you would know what their background was.
I will say, though, that's one thing I think me and all these Democrats have in common. Not big readers. We skip the reading a lot. And you know what? In both cases, for both of us, it doesn't always work out. So let's play cut 23.
Have you ever had an LGBTQ law clerk?
I've not been a judge, so I don't have any law clerks.
I'm sorry, someone working for you?
I'm to be honest, I don't know the sexual orientation of my staff. So I take people as they come, you know, irrespective of their race, ethnicity, sexual orientation. I treat people as individuals. Those are the values that I grew up with.
So if he said, yes, I do, it's how do you know?
Exactly.
Did you ask him or her what she was?
I mean, it begs the question, like, Corey, are you asking people on your staff if they're gay or not?
Right.
Because that's kind of a problem, Spartacus. We might have an issue there.
Right. Well, it's like Chuck Schumer always says, we can't have the Federalist Society picking judges because they have litmus tests. And so then you say, well, Senator Schumer, would you ever vote for a judge who was pro-life? Of course not.
Right.
Well, I guess you have some litmus tests too then, Senator Schumer.
Or remember what Dianne Feinstein said? The dogma lives loudly inside of
right.
you.
I'd like to see her say that to a Muslim.
Yeah.
It's okay to say it to people like us, but Muslims, no. By the way, did you see the story in the Globe that they said that people, I guess at Harvard Law School, people who are graduating, they're in the third year, you know, the ultimate the ultimate plum when you get out of law school and you pass the bar exam is to be a clerk to a federal judge for a year or two. But now the number of federal judges that Harvard people can work for is declining rapidly because they can't work for anyone who was appointed by Donald J. Trump.
Can we get a violin, please? I just graduated from law school, and now I'm supposed to go work for this person appointed by Donald Trump? I need my money back. So sad. Truly devastating. So moving on from this, unless we want to play one more, speaking of nominations, Cory Booker was very, very outspoken during Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court. And you probably...
Did you notice, though, most of the people who were on that committee, that Judiciary Committee, they're all gone now from the campaign, right? Yeah. Remember Kamala Harris? She was another one who was very angry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, right. But the funny thing is that Booker took it a step further. He decided to call Brett Kavanaugh evil, which was very interesting. This is Cut 25.
There is so much at stake here. This has nothing to do with politics. This is to do with who we are as moral beings. And so I want to call on everybody. I'm not here to tell folk just what they should know. I'm here to call on folk to understand that in the moral moment, there is no neutral. In a moral moment, there is no bystanders. You are either complicit in the evil, you are either contributing to the wrong, or you are fighting against it.
Wow.
So there are no bystanders, but he just dropped out of the race today. So he's not in the race anymore, so I guess he's a bystander.
And don't forget, he's also the same guy who told people, I want you guys to go up on Capitol Hill and get up in some people's faces. Get up in their face. And I thought, that sounds aggressive, a bit violent. And it was right around the same time, I think, as the Maxine Waters thing. So yeah, there's just so much with Cory Booker. He's such a joke. He says folks more than Barack Obama said folks. He says it 1,600 times in like 40 seconds. So I'm glad he's out of the race, but he will be missed.
You know what Kamala Harris said when she heard the news?
What?
Dude gotta go.
Dude gotta go. By the way, guys, it's a great day to get on the Chump line, 844-500-4242. Press 2. I can't believe we even need Chump lines right now. It's been such a good day for material. Cory Booker should be filling up the Chump line. So make sure you call in and leave your best message.
But how can you go wrong, though, with talking about Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders at each other's throats?
I know. I just want to say, actually, you know what? I'll vote on the other side because that's the poll question.
I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr. You can trust him. He's not like the others.
Something I look forward to every month is my shipment from ButcherBox. The box I got this month came with, as usual, ground beef. There's nothing better than ButcherBox ground beef. And I also get the chicken tenders and the boneless chicken breasts. They're free-range chicken. I never understood how good free-range was until I started subscribing to ButcherBox. And, of course, I get some steaks. I love the filet mignon, the strip steaks, the sirloin steaks, but I'm a filet mignon guy. It's great. And their bacon is fantastic, too. All of you existing ButcherBox members and those of you who are signing up today, I highly recommend going for one of those cuts that you usually only get when you go out to a fancy steakhouse-type restaurant. You know, something like hanger steak or flank steak, something you can't easily get at the local supermarket or even at the butcher shop. Check it out. Let me know what you think. Post your picture with my recommendation to your social media and tag me and ButcherBox. And tell us how you prepared it. And for those of you who are on the fence, ButcherBox delivers 100% grass-fed, organic, and free-range meat with no antibiotics or hormones ever right to your door. With free shipping, ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get meat the way it's meant to be. Natural, fresh, and delicious. And to make things even better, ButcherBox is offering new members $20 off your first box, plus 2 pounds of wild-caught Alaskan salmon when you sign up at butcherbox.com/Howie. That's butcherbox.com/Howie for $20 off your first box, plus 2 pounds of wild-caught Alaskan salmon free in your first box. You'll never buy farm-raised fish again after you go to ButcherBox. butcherbox.com/Howie.
This is Karen from Billerica, Massachusetts.
This is Adrian in Swanton, Vermont.
This is Miss Susan up in Warner, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Taste the amazing difference of ButcherBox by signing up at butcherbox.com/Howie and get $20 off your first box plus 2 pounds of wild-caught Alaskan salmon in your first box. ButcherBox.com/Howie. As you probably know, Elizabeth Warren has been slipping in the polls. Bernie Sanders has been pulling away in Iowa and New Hampshire, the first two states to hold caucuses or primaries. And so Elizabeth Warren has become increasingly desperate. And today she's gone on the warpath, so to speak. She has accused Bernie through sources of telling her at a campaign one-on-one, a sit-down back in December of 2018, that a woman could not be elected president. So, Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Do you believe Bernie Sanders told Elizabeth Warren that a woman can't win against Trump?
No, I don't believe that.
42% don't believe it.
Oh, wow. Really? A lot of people. I mean, he might have said it in a way of just thinking logistically.
He may have said they can't win easily. And she only heard what she wanted to hear.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Her life is about changing. You know, an incident occurs. And as time goes on, her interpretation of the incident.
Her father used to be a maintenance man. Now her daddy is a janitor.
Yeah.
Right. And she grew up on the jagged edge of the middle class, the ragged edge of the middle class. There was no money in her family budget for her to even apply to college. Yet a few months later, she went to George Washington University.
You know what I would call this? An evolving paradigm.
Everything in her life is an evolving paradigm.
I'm going to vote for believing Bernie Sanders because I do think that Bernie is kind of cheap and I think he is kind of cranky. But I don't think he's a liar. I think he's a lot of things, but he doesn't strike me as a liar.
He's insane.
Yeah, no, he's nuts, but he's...
Sorry about that.
He's truthful. He's a truthful nut. And Elizabeth Warren, we've just seen her do it so many times. Why wouldn't you go with the person who's lied so many times?
It's like betting on a horse race. You go with the form, right?
Right.
That's her form.
Exactly. So I know that I get really mixed reviews. Some people want to know what's going on with the Royals, and they text me, and they tweet me, and they say, Grace, we need the updates. You know everything about this. And then other people
nobody texts.
No, but you know what, Taylor? I will tell you this. I walked into Howie's office today, and I swear I thought the world was ending or something because he looked at me dead serious, and he said, did you see that story in the New York Post? You should read it on your news segment about the Royals.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, what's happened to you?
Howie, she tried suckering me into a conversation about them earlier. Let me give you
the full context. That, so you'll know the rest of the story.
I'm like Elizabeth Warren. I took a little bit. And I heard on the radio.
They said the Queen is meeting with her grandchildren today, so that they can come up with a workable solution. And I said to myself, work and the royal family. The royal family has the same reaction to the word work as Maynard G. Krebs did on the old Dobie Gillis show, the hippie, the beatnik. Whenever someone would say work, he'd go, work? And then he would dive under the table.
But Howie, I'm glad you brought that up because if you guys sign on for our Patreon, www.patreon.com/HCRN, I'm going to give a full royal update. I'm talking like real content, fresh royal content for hours, maybe minutes. And I'm going to give you everything you need to know.
Is this going
to
be a daily thing?
No, it's going to be a todaily thing. And it's on the Patreon, patreon.com/HCRN. Sign up, get royal.
So much for the workable solution. Work! I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. I've been looking forward to this for a couple of days, talking to Joe DiGenova. Ever since the word came out that the FISA court had decided to pick as its amicus curiae, its friend of the court, to oversee these FBI reforms, a deep stater who used to appear on the Rachel Maddow show, and he suggested that Devin Nunes, the California congressman, could be charged with a federal crime, obstruction of justice, for telling the truth about the crimes that had been committed by the FBI. This is the guy they picked to clean up the FBI survey, the FBI presentations to the FISA, secret FISA courts. Joe, this just gets more outrageous by the week, doesn't it?
If you were writing a book about this and you put this in there, the producer would say, nobody's going to believe this.
Right.
You've got to take this out. So this guy, James Boasberg, who is the brand spanking new chief judge of the FISA court, decides to pick someone who is an enemy of Carter Page because of his criticism of him and his accusation that he was guilty of being a Russian spy. He is an enemy of Devin Nunes, who he accused of lying to the American people, when in fact, anybody who knew anything about the facts knew that Nunes was telling the truth and Adam Schiff was lying in February of 2018. Now, why does a judge pick somebody like this? Is he naive? This is a federal judge. He's not naive. He's sitting in the FISA court. He sees ugly stuff coming every day. This is a spit in the face of the President of the United States and the FISA court critics. And if Lindsey Graham does not haul this son of a bee, this guy David Chris, before the committee and grill him, this guy, Chris, never should have accepted this appointment, knowing about his public tweets, his public writings. He wrote something for Lawfare about Devin Nunes that was so disgusting that the fact that this judge didn't know about it sounds to me like Judge Boasberg is an incompetent. So we got to get Boasberg, who will never agree to testify, but somebody has to do something about this. And I suggest that Bill Barr, the Attorney General of the United States, get involved in this. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Selecting a guy like David Chris, who is a partisan, he's an insult to every one of us who knew that there was a plot against the president and who knew that the Carter Page warrants were a fraud from the very beginning.
You know, Joe, I've known a couple of lawyers over the years who were disbarred in Boston for basically, you know, working for the mafia. They'd gone over the line, you know, laundering money or suborning perjury, et cetera, et cetera. This would be like if they discovered that there was a big scandal in the Boston Police Department involving payoffs from organized crime and bringing in one of these disbarred lawyers to investigate it. It's crazy. This guy, Chris, is part of the problem.
This is incomprehensible because what he did was, people need to do this. I want people to go and read his article. It's entitled The Russian Connection, The Irony of the Nunes Memo. It's dated Thursday, March 1st, 2018, and it's published on Lawfare, which is a Brookings Institution blogging site. Just listen to this, what he says. The central irony of the memo prepared by House Intelligence Chairman Devin Nunes is that it tried to deceive the American people in precisely the same way that it falsely accused the FBI of deceiving the FISA court. The Nunes memos, he goes on, was dishonest. And if it is allowed to stand, we risk significant collateral damage to essential elements of our democracy, end quote. We risk considerable damage to our democracy if this clown, David Chris, continues to serve in this role. Now, here's the other thing. What is the relationship between Judge Boasberg and this guy, David Chris? Remember Judge Contreras, who took the guilty plea of Michael Flynn?
Right, and then recused
himself.
Within
a matter of days, he had to recuse himself from the case. We didn't know why, and then we found out later because he was ass-kissing Peter Strzok and vice versa. My question is, what's the relationship between David Chris and Judge James Boasberg? This appointment is an insult to everybody who's been concerned about the corrupt FBI, the corrupt CIA, and the corrupt and the corrupt intelligence community and DOJ under Obama leadership. This is disgusting, this appointment. This is outrageous. People need to scream from the rafters that this guy be removed from this post.
Well, apparently this guy, David Crist, too, he's in the past has been an amicus curiae on something else, which was the a year or two ago about the surveillance of U.S. citizens, illegally, improperly under the FISA rules. And his job, it seems like, Joe, I mean, he has a very specialized practice of law, I guess you'd call it. He's the guy
covering up for Democrats.
Right. As the conservative treehouse put it, his job is to manufacture process arguments, find obtuse angles to justify the illegal procedures being used and to provide FISA judges with plausible deniability they need in order to keep rubber stamping Fourth Amendment violations against Republicans and conservatives.
So I'm calling this guy's office tomorrow, David Crist, and I'm going to ask to interview him. For every Monday morning, I do a legal commentary on a local radio station here,
right.
WMAL. Great station. Great station.
I listen to
it. So I'm going to ask for an interview so we can hear what he has to say about all his previous activities. What do you think? You think he's going to grant the interview?
Why don't you say, hi, I'm Rachel Maddow. Can you come back on my show to talk about how you and I were right from the start on this Russian collusion?
Yeah.
Because he went on Rachel Maddow. He was going on Rachel Maddow and apparently saying that Devin Nunes should be prosecuted for telling the truth, as it turns out.
For obstruction
telling the
of
truth.
Justice.
Right.
For obstruction of justice. Well, if you use his logic, then Adam Schiff should be prosecuted for obstruction of justice for sending out a knowingly false document under the name of the minority of the committee at that time. What, but by the way, Chief Justice Roberts has a role to play in this, and I would hope that this morning, after some of this news broke, that the Chief Justice picked up the phone and called Judge Boasberg and said, hey, Jim, how you doing? Why don't you know, this guy, Chris, doesn't quite look right. Maybe you might want to rethink that. You think that happened? I don't think it happened.
I think if he was worried about Roberts, Judge Boasberg never would have appointed this this Democrat deep state operative to the job of covering up everything.
You know, I got a better idea. I think I'll call Judge Boasberg's chambers tomorrow and ask for an interview of him about this appointment for my Monday morning radio talk. I think this might be a much better interview than Mr. Crist. What was the thought process, Your Honor, that you went through to pick a guy who's obviously a partisan hack, a Democrat who hates the president, hates Carter Page, hates Devin Nunes, hates oversight, loves you guys, and wants to cover for you? So why'd you pick him? Oh, I think I have the answer.
I think... Well, you know what he's not going to say anything. Listen, let's talk about something else. Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, speaking of deep state swamp creatures, he sends out a 15-page memo. The FISA court, Judge Collier, who's now gone and replaced by Boasberg, said the FBI has to send me something by January 10th, the court, something by January 10th, how they're going to clean up the process. And he came up with 15 pages. And again, I was reading this over the weekend, Joe, and I thought to myself, he's going to have all these training programs for the FBI.
Right.
And I thought, what more training does he need to do than to tell him to read the Ten Commandments, especially the one that says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor? I mean, isn't that what it comes down to here?
You couldn't be more on point, Howie. This is not about training. This is about a leadership at the FBI under James Comey that was corrupt. They were liars. They were cheats. They decided they were going to commit a crime against a candidate, a president-elect, and a president. This isn't about training the lowly FBI agents. They all know how to do their job. Let me tell you who doesn't know how to do his job. Chris Wray. That phony apology that he sent makes him the descendant of the first dirty cop at the Bureau, James Comey, and now Chris Wray has become a dirty cop. This is a cover-up for the failings of FBI former leadership that he has never criticized. Just remember that. Your listeners need to understand this. Not once since he took office has he ever criticized the previous leadership of the FBI. You cannot reform an institution like the FBI unless you break China. He doesn't like to break China because he's a kiss-ass. Chris Wray, the FBI director, got this job for one reason. He helped Chris Wray scoot a federal indictment
Chris Christie.
Thank you for the correction. I needed that. It's been a long day.
No, I understand.
Chris Christie is responsible. Chris Christie is responsible for this farce. This guy in his Joseph A. Bank suits with his perfectly coiffed hair and his polished shoes is like he's like a child's FBI agent in cardboard that you give to a kid and say, you want to grow up someday, be somebody great, be an FBI agent. Here's the answer. You don't want to be this FBI agent because Chris Wray, that 15-page letter with its oleaginous language is disgusting. He's an embarrassment to the memory of great FBI agents that I've known and worked with.
Let's go back to John Roberts for a moment, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. I mean, what is he going to do during this impeachment trial if it comes down to, you know, more than
a traffic cop? He's a traffic cop. You know, Rehnquist set the example. He sat there. He was asked to do certain things. He didn't interject himself. He'll be asked to make rulings on evidentiary matters if they come up. He won't be asked what the senators can do and not do because, as a matter of law, the Senate can overrule the Chief Justice's ruling with a simple majority vote. He's there basically to make sure that decorum prevails. And since the senators are not allowed to speak, there's simply no doubt that decorum will prevail. The senators are not allowed to ask questions. They are allowed to submit written questions if they use the Clinton model of impeachment. And everybody knows how this is going to end. There's not going to be 67 votes to remove the president from office. So the question is, what does John Roberts want out of this for his legacy?
Yeah,
John Roberts is a strange little duck. He's kind of a namby-pamby kind of guy. He took a dive and in a classic prize fighter way when he changed his vote and upheld Obamacare as constitutional.
Yeah, the decision was already in print, and he changed his mind.
He changed his vote, and he'll live in infamy for that reason because, you know, the other justices were just, I mean, the four that mattered were appalled by him, and somebody got to him. The point is, somebody got to Roberts to make him change his vote, and the reason you know that's what happened is, you watch the way he conducts himself. When no chief justice should have ever did what he did. When the president criticized the federal judge for being an Obama appointee, it was not Roberts' job to go out and say, there are no Obama judges. There are no Trump judges. There are no Bush judges. That's crap.
Yeah.
There are judges of all ilks and philosophy who reflect the philosophy of the president of the United States. And for him to go out and say that makes not only him look stupid, but it makes the federal judiciary look stupid.
And by the way, if people out there are wondering who appointed Judge Boasberg, I think you already know the answer to that question. Barack Obama.
Obi.
Yeah.
It's Obi-Wan Kenobi, our president, the JAMF guy. I mean, there's just no doubt that Boasberg is a team player with the Democrats.
Yeah.
This is an embarrassment. This appointment is an embarrassment. And I hope Boasberg is smart enough. I hope he's not so arrogant, which this appointment reflects. By the way, this appointment reflects an arrogance that is simply stunning, breathtaking.
I agree.
In its spitting in the face of the rest of the government and the American people.
Yeah, I gotta wrap it up, Joe, but I would just think he would have said, you know, David, I know you love this job, but you're just too dirty. Even as bad as we are here in the deep state, we can't put this one over on the American people. It's just,
Amen, brother.
Stench is too great. But he didn't care. He went to Yale. His father worked for the Kennedy administration for Sergeant Shriver. He's a beautiful person.
Oh my God!
He was born in San Francisco, just like the U.S. Supreme Court justice. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Joe DeGenova. Talk to you next week. I'm Howie Carr.
He didn't come here to be made sport of. Howie Carr.
Hi, this is John in the People's Republic of Amherst, Massachusetts.
This is Heather from Litchfield, Maine.
This is Camp, Wichita, Kansas, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Really is outrageous, this appointment. They're not on the level. And for Christopher Wray, first he announces when the IG's report comes out, well, there was no bias at the FBI. Now, basically on Friday, this 15-page letter, okay, we're going to have bias training at the FBI. So which is it? Is there no bias? Or if there's no bias, why do you need bias training? And again, the Ten Commandments. That's not one of the more ones that is often discussed. But thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. It's a pretty good one, right? It's those are words to live by, like all the other commandments. Apparently they don't have the Ten Commandments in the FBI headquarters down on Pennsylvania Avenue. Matt, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Matt.
Howie, how come not one Republican has blamed Pelosi for the plane that crashed or that was shot down in Iran? Because if she had put the impeachment papers through to the Senate, then the threat in the White House, Trump would be out of office, or at least be on his way.
What you're saying is no less far-fetched than what they're saying about Trump. It was Trump's fault that not only did Trump shoot down the plane, Matt, but Trump was also responsible for the trampling of all those people at the funeral. You know, for Soleimani, so you have all these casualties, 56 people dead at the funeral, trampled to death. And then 176 people killed in the plane crash. And they kept saying that, I guess half of them were Iranian and 63 were Canadian. They were carrying Canadian passports, but from what I read, a lot of them were Iranian immigrants who had just come back to the country. And I think that's probably one. So you figure one way or another, probably two-thirds, three-quarters of the people on the plane were Iranian. Certainly a lot more than there were Ukrainians. All right, thanks for the call, Matt. I'm Howie Carr.
This hour of the Howie Carr Show podcast is brought to you in part by the Dirty Rats podcast. Everyone is raving about Dirty Rats. Available wherever you get your podcasts, as well as on DirtyRatsPodcast.com. Binge Dirty Rats today.